your Bibles to Psalms. We have been, if you're kind of just dropping in with us here for your first time, we have, before Advent season, we're doing a series on the Gospels, the Gospel accounts. We've covered Matthew, Mark, and Luke, just doing three or four sermons from each Gospel. That's kind of capturing the theme of each one and why we have four different Gospel accounts. We've took a break from that. We focused on our Advent season and talked about and had preached on the coming of Christ. And so now this is kind of a little gap. This is just a little standalone sermon on Psalm 118. If you can turn in your Bibles there, your pew, or you can look on your bulletin. We have it printed for you. Both Jay and Charlie asked the question, not how was your Christmas, but have you recovered from Christmas? I find that interesting. It kind of feels that way, doesn't it, at times? We put so much effort in our culture, especially if you have kids and grandkids, to, you know, make the meal and the gifts and the tree and the ambiance and everything. Everything has to be kind of, you know, at the highest level. There's a lot of energy that goes into Christmas and making people feel welcome and hospitable, people traveling, people on the go. It's a busy, intense season. And if you're like me, and maybe I'm the only one, it kind of leaves a vacuum at the end of Christmas, kind of an emotional vacuum, if you will. You're just kind of like, oh, wow. And maybe even for your kids in the room, because we got some kids that stayed in here this time. But, you know, you get all the stuff, and you're anticipating all the stuff you're going to get, and you get it, and then you got it. Okay. And then you start thinking about, what's going to be on my list for next year? or, man, that broke after 30 minutes. Wow. Or your parents say, oh, yeah, that doesn't take batteries. It's just broken. Anyway, no. Has anybody ever done that? It's just going to run silent now for the rest of our lives. But it kind of leaves you kind of physically exhausted this time of year if you're not careful, and also kind of emotionally, spiritually kind of just worn out. And so we're kind of coming off that, but we're also thinking about the new year, because tonight's, you know, New Year's Eve. Everybody's going to stay up to midnight, right? No. Some people, like, you know, just go to bed. It's going to be a new year tomorrow. I'll just go to bed at 8. It's going to be okay. I don't have to watch it happen. I'm confident. But, you know, we're anticipating new year. And sometimes some of you are optimists and you're anticipating all the great things are going to happen. But a lot of you are already trying to figure out your, you know, your resolutions. How is this next year going to be better than the last year? You know, so, you know, when you do that, when you're focused on the resolutions, you're kind of focused on the past year's failures. That's really, you know, that's how you get to the resolution. That was bad, so I need to do better. And so we're in this kind of spiritual vacuum, emotional vacuum from Christmas, and we're also kind of dwelling on how we didn't quite fulfill 2017's resolutions, and we need to do better. And what I want us to do, and why I picked this psalm, it's a psalm of thanksgiving. I want us to read this and to realize, you know what? God has blessed us this year. not just in what was under the tree, but yes, what was under the tree? Yeah, what you got? You know, you have these little gifts that point to the ultimate gift of Jesus. You have got some nice things. If you're kids, you got some Christmas presents. You've had time, a break from school. Parents, adults, you've got to see family. God's been good to you this year. And I want us, as we kind of look at this song of thanksgiving, I hope that it helps us to find that place of, can we be thankful for what we have? That sometimes our hearts don't feel that way. You know, you ever come to the scripture, like, I don't know if I can read scripture. I don't really feel like reading scripture. I don't feel like I'm worthy to read scripture. That's when you need to go to the scriptures. That's when you need to go to the Psalms. I'm not feeling very thankful, so I shouldn't read the Psalms. No, go to the Psalms to feel thankful. Be reminded what it is, that who God is and what he's done to bring your heart to a state of thankfulness. That's what we're going to do. And through that thanksgiving, as we be reminded of who God is and what we have, hope we'll enter into the new year more confident, not just in our own abilities, but in God's love and faithfulness. So before we read God's word together, let's pray. Gracious God, thank you so much for speaking to us. You've made access to the throne of grace. You've allowed us to pray through the work of Christ, and also you have fully revealed yourself to us through the prophets and apostles, yes, but ultimately through Jesus. And so we can know you. Thank you for speaking to us, for revealing yourself to us. And we pray now, Holy Spirit, that as we read this psalm, as we read this Thanksgiving psalm, that you would change our hearts, that you would speak into the emotional, spiritual vacuum, the physical exhaustion, and that you would give us reason for thanksgiving and reason to be confident and joyful in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of his righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And as the holy, inspired, and inerrant word of God, there's four things I want us to see. Yes, four. I'm sorry. It's not going to be too long. Four short points. We hear more than two or three, we get nervous, but there's four. First of all, I want you to see there's four things here, and the first thing is thanksgiving requires dependence. The question of, you know, I just finished Christmas, I've got things, I've got my family, I've got friends, I've got this church, I've got people in my life, the Lord has blessed me. Why am I not thankful? Why do I struggle to be thankful? What we see here at the very beginning of this text is that thanksgiving first requires an attitude of dependence. One of the ways we judge maturity in our culture is by determining the level to which someone is self-sufficient or independent. That's what we typically do. You know, you're successful, you're mature if you can go it alone, if you can kind of pay your own bills and figure out your own way and not have to depend on someone else. But the opposite is true when it comes to spiritual growth. The opposite is true when it comes to thinking about growing as a Christian. The goal is not to become more independent, but to become more dependent on our God. You can't be thankful if you don't first realize that all that you have, that all that you are comes from the Lord. Out of the abundance of his steadfast love, our Heavenly Father provides. And that's what the psalmist acknowledges here. His steadfast love endures forever. It is that his covenant faithfulness, his love, his loving kindness, is that's by his very nature, he feels that and shows that to his people. That he's the one that has met your needs. He's the one that has set you free when you felt trapped. He's your helper. He is your sustainer. It's him. He is your refuge. You are not made to go through life on your own. You're not made to be independent. He's the creator. You're the creature. And by our very nature, we should live in dependence upon him. It's when we lose that reality, it's when we think that, you know, I really can go on my own. I really can decide between right and wrong on my own. I really can, you know, go my own way and provide for myself on my own. That's when things go awry. Why do we keep going to that, though? Why do we keep wanting to be our own refuge? Why do we keep wanting to be our own sustainer? Why is that? Well, the answer is sin, and the root of sin is pride, isn't it? It's our ego. And when we let pride kind of take over, when we let pride rule the day, then there can't be gratitude. Because pride cuts away that idea of dependence. It's there in your bulletin, the kind of on the reflections, a writer named Henry Beecher, brother of Harriet Beecher Stowe, he wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin. Anyway, he said this, that pride slays thanksgiving, but a humble mind is the soil out of which thanks naturally grows. A proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves. If we are so consumed with being on our own and going our own way and being independent, we let our own pride stand in the way, we don't recognize that I'm a needy person who trusts and whose only help, whose only refuge is Yahweh, is the Lord, then we will never be able to get to a point of gratitude, of thanksgiving. We come to Scripture, we come to the Gospels, we come to this text, and we were reminded that all that you and I have is by grace. It's undeserved. It's God's favor toward you and me that's unmerited. All of it, none of it is deserved. None of it is owed to us. And you also, we need to realize that no one else, no other person but the Lord can meet our needs. It's not just we can't be self-sufficient, but we can't really look to anything else or any other person to supply our needs. There in this text, you probably have heard this verse before. It says, I will not trust in man. I will not trust in princes. You know, there's a lot of, it's calmed down a little bit, but a lot of discussion, political arguments, things are very polarized. More than I ever remember them being when it comes to politics. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, as Christians, it's not so much who's in office. We realize what? We realize this. I can't trust in man. I can't trust in princes. I can't trust in the economy. I can't trust in my bank account. I can't trust in the things of this world or the people of this world. I really ultimately, my hope and my trust is, my refuge is the Lord and in him alone. Joe Novitzen, I'm using an illustration from Joe Novitzen, which is a good person to borrow an illustration from. Anyway, he tells a story about an older lady without much money, and she used to sit on her balcony and pray. She said, Jesus, please give me what I need. I don't have money to pay the bills and buy the groceries this month. Next to her apartment was a young guy who was annoyed by her prayers. He didn't believe in God and felt it was kind of sad how this lady kept casting her hope into thin air. She needs to know this isn't real. So he decides to buy the groceries she was praying about, sets them on the steps, rings the bell, and the lady opens the door and starts the shout, Jesus, oh praise Jesus, he's given me what I need. The man jumps out and says, God has nothing to do with it. I bought these for you. What do you think of that? And the lady said, praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. He not only gave me groceries, he made the devil pay the bill. God, when we pray, we're not just praying into thin air. And even as Christians, it feels that way sometimes. Even as Christians, it feels that way sometimes when God's not quick to answer, but he's listening, and he provides. He provides through other people, through brothers and sisters in Christ, and even through unbelievers. He'll provide. But don't be fooled that it's the political party or the government or your bank. God is the one who's provided in and through those things. And he can provide in spite of people and in spite of circumstances too. He's working in and through all things all the time. So you must realize that you're not independent of your Creator and God. You have to realize that he is the only one that can sustain you. He's the only one that can provide for you. Also, under this heading of dependence, you also need to be honest about your needs. For some of us, that's hard. For some of us, it's hard to actually express our needs and to be honest about our needs. And not financial needs, material needs, but emotional, spiritual deficits in our lives. We need to be honest about those. Some of us struggle in that. Some of us are very good at seeing the needs or seeing the deficits. Some of us, that's all we see. We joke about, Rick and I joke about Eeyore personalities. Rick is not an Eeyore personality. If you know Rick Searle, he's everything. He's Mr. Optimist. And between the two of us, I can't help but be the Eeyore. I mean, okay. If you've met Rick, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, you might be assessing your current situation, weighing your assets and deficits, victories and defeats, and you might be concluding right now and sitting there that, I don't think I have anything to be thankful for. But that's where we start. That's where we have to start. Look at verse 5. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me. Where he starts is need. Where he starts is despair. Where he starts is deficit. And then he cries out. He cries out this little lament, this psalm of lament. It's kind of hiding in the psalm of thanksgiving. Lord, I'm hurting. I'm in need. Help me. And the beautiful thing is, he answered him. The psalmist is answered. You see, another theologian, biblical scholar, Tremper Longman, put it this way. He says, thanksgiving flows out of lament. It's when we cry out to God and ask, when we really feel our need, and he supplies it, that's when we begin to be thankful. And sometimes, if you notice this, sometimes he will make you feel your need. Physical ailments, emotional distress, family squabbles, things that you can't control, things that hurt, like hurt knees that don't work, and ankles that don't work, and spines that don't work. He'll bring us to a point where we have a need, and he says, we have to get on our knees if our need doesn't hurt too bad. Maybe we'll just sit. And we go, Lord, help me. And when he supplies, when he comes through, man, then we find what? Our hearts are thankful. We're grateful. He doesn't make us feel our need to be mean. He wants us to be a dependent people so that we can be a thankful, joyous people. That's what verse 18 is. That's what I think it's getting at. Have you noticed verse 18? It kind of is the one that stands out in the midst of this. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Isn't a song of thanksgiving? Why would you say something like that? That's kind of a downer. He's like, no, life hasn't been a bowl of cherries. Life hasn't been easy, but he's seen me through. And even surrounded by that statement, that kind of right in the middle of the psalm, he's thankful. Because he has been brought low. So first of all, to be thankful, we need to be dependent. He will bring us to that point. Christian, if you, like, I want to be thankful, He'll make you feel your need of Him because He loves you. Second thing is thanksgiving yields boldness. Did y'all notice that? Some very bold statements there in verses 10 through 17. It almost sounds like a little braggy, doesn't it? You look at that. All nations surrounded me in the name of the Lord. I cut them off. Whoa. You're supposed to boast like that? Is that okay? They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. You can imagine just kind of the warrior, David, you know. I don't know if David wrote this or not, but imagine him, like, surrounded every side with the sword in hand. I'm cutting them off. I'm standing, man. They surrounded me like bees, like a fire among thorns that moves really fast, you know, like a swarming fire, like those wildfires out west, you know, you've been seeing that on the news. I cut them off. When we realize that God is in control, when we realize that we can be dependent on Him, then we can begin to revel in what God does in and through us. And He's not boasting Himself. He says, in the name of the Lord, I did this. In the name of the Lord, there was victory. And it wasn't just a kind of a, I'm going to let go and let God. You've heard that statement. I'm going to let go and let God. He had to have the sword in his hand. He had to move forward. He had to keep moving. And I think, and maybe just for me as the Eeyore of on staff at Faith Presbyterian Church, I need to hear that, because sometimes if you're like me, things get hard and things go wrong and you kind of withdraw. But when you realize your dependence on God and your need and that God supplies your needs, it doesn't mean you just kind of let go and take your hands off the wheel, but you keep moving. You keep trusting. Trusting the Lord isn't kind of letting go and sitting still. It's taking the next step and to keep moving forward, knowing that God knows your ways, that God's going before you, that you can keep moving. You know, David, think about David here. Think about the being surrounded by the Philistines and facing the giant Goliath. He was confident in what? Not that he would win, but that the Lord's will would be done and that he was going to trust the Lord. However it turned out. And we can't be like David perfectly. We can't be like that, you know, but we have a better David. We have Jesus who's walked before us, who has defeated the ultimate enemy. And we can keep moving forward. We can keep trusting not by letting go, not by being passive, but being bold and confident in life. When things got hard, he cut them off. He kept moving. Because he trusted the Lord. And in the name of the Lord, through his power, through the Lord's power, through the Lord's strength, he's victorious. Confidence in God's love and faithfulness makes us not just more able, but more willing to do hard things. It makes us willing to do hard things. Because again, God's at work. God rules whether this is going to be success or failure. God goes before me. So I can move forward in confidence. Giving thanks for the Lord's past faithfulness. That's what he's doing here. He's telling you, look what happened. It was all going wrong. And then it worked, and God saw me through. Don't you love stories like that? Isn't that like every movie that you like? Really? You know? When the hero, either sometimes of his own strength or just some circumstance, you know, that, you know, victory is snatched from the jaws of defeat. I mean, that's the story we all love. I was surrounded on every side. They were around me like bees. I cut them off because the Lord was there. The Lord was at work. He's giving thanks for what's happened before, giving thanks for God's past faithfulness and help. That gives him courage. That gives him confidence. Giving thanks for God's victories, for his goodness and grace, yields boldness, enough boldness to say, I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. That's verse 17. When you remember what God has done in your life, remember how he's loved you and taken care of you, you can say with the psalmist, I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. Do you ever feel like life is just beyond you? And as a friend of mine says, he likes to say, do you ever feel like you just can't keep the cheese on the cracker? Do you ever feel that way? That life is just beyond, I can't do this, I can't do life. I hear millennials, college students say that, I just can't do life. Or just sometimes it's just life. That's the short version. When you feel that way, that's because it's true. Let's pray. No, I'm joking. Anyway, when you feel that way, that you're tapping on something real because it really is beyond us. But it's not beyond your God. It's not beyond him. It's not beyond his love. What you need, he will supply. So to be thankful, we need dependence. When we are thankful, it yields boldness. Thirdly, thanksgiving. Recounting what God has done and how he's blessed you and helped you, it gives you joy in life. Look at verses 14 through 16. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are the tents, or in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. When you're thankful, when you realize I'm dependent on him and he supplies my needs, and I can begin to see how he's worked and see his promises come true in my life, see how he's provided for me, then we can have joy in life. Joy, real joy. He is in control. He is blessing me. He does love me. Again, like I said, we've just finished Christmas, and it's often happens that when we have gotten a lot of stuff, gotten a lot of presents, maybe Christmas or after a birthday even, you can have those things and yet still not be happy. You can get all the new things, the new iPhone. I got the iPhone 10. They skipped 9. What's up with that? Anyway, don't worry about it. But you got the new thing, and you got the new, and you still, like, now I'm kind of frustrated that the iPhone doesn't work like my old iPhone. Now I'm just mad. You finally got the new thing, and it didn't quite work out like you thought. It just, you can have all the stuff and have all the things and have everything you thought you wanted, but still not be happy. Happiness is so hard to hang on to, isn't it? Charles Spurgeon says this about happiness. He said, it's not how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes happiness. It's not how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes happiness. Thanksgiving increases our joy. Why? Let me tell a story on Nathan. Is that okay, Nathan? Okay, good. I asked permission. Okay, you always can do that. When he was about 4 or so, at his birthday, we had a little birthday, a little family birthday party, and we're giving out presents. And he got the present, and he would get it. You know, and typically what I would do, this is me, you get the present, and typically what I did as a kid, you throw the card with the paper away, right, and start diving in. And then a parent would say, hey, you need to read the card and say thank you. But it was usually like you had to find it in the paper on the floor after you'd already kind of started building the thing that you got, right? And this was so precious to me that when you're Nathan, just... He with each gift, he got the gift, he looked at the card and went over and hugged the person that gave it before he ever opened it and said, thank you. Okay. And that was one of those moments I was like, wow, that's what gratitude is. It's realizing, what he realized is something that we need to realize, that when we begin to recount, when we begin to give thanks, what we're doing is seeing this material thing, this thing that you needed, that this person in your life, when you begin to give thanks for them, what you realize is that this is an expression of love. And what Nathan got, and what in our best moments we get this, we see the gift and we go, this is not just the thing itself. This is an expression of the giver's love. And that's why I say that joy flows out of thanksgiving, because when you begin to list what God has done, when you begin to relish what God has done for you, you realize in this, not just a list of things and materials that you can rejoice in, but the fact that these people in your life, the material possessions you have, the house, the car, the brother, the sister, the husband, the wife, that you realize these are expressions of God's love for you. And when you can see that, that brings joy. It brings real joy. Not in the thing, but in the giver's love for you. And that's where joy comes from. That's where lasting joy comes from, is that I see each thing, each provision as an expression of my Creator's love and care, my Father's love and care for me. Our happiness or joy in what we receive is directly correlated to the degree in which we see the gift as an expression of the giver's love. That's why sometimes, okay, ladies, if your husband gives you an iron for your birthday, I've not done that. Have I? Okay, good. You're like, is this a utility present or is this out of love? You know, it kind of matters, you know? If you've ever gotten that gift, it's like, oh, thanks. Because it didn't feel like an expression of the giver's love. So everybody's like, there's some guys in here going, I shouldn't have gotten the iron for Christmas. That explains a lot. Anyway, thanksgiving flows out of dependence. Thanksgiving yields boldness. Thanksgiving, when we realize what we've been given is an expression of God's love, increases our joy. And then fourthly, lastly, we ultimately give thanks because Christ grants access. And that's the last part of this text, verses 19 through the end. You notice that, verse 19, open the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, the righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And that's a reference to Jesus Christ. He was the stumbling block. So many people rejected him and refused him. This is a prophecy of the coming of our Lord. He has become the cornerstone which our salvation is built. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The ultimate provision, the ultimate thing we should be thankful for is that we have been given access, that the gates of the righteousness have been opened to you and me, we who are by nature are unrighteous, that Jesus has been our righteousness, that he has opened the gates, opened the way, given us access to God. Through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, through his gift of his self, of his own life, he laid it down for you and me so that we may have access to him, that we may be part of his family, that we may be adopted, that we may share in all the inheritance that's due to the Son. We too receive it because we're united to him through faith. He has made that possible. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. All that I've said before would all just be futile if not for this point. If life was just about the material possessions and even the family connections and that we have in this world, if this was not true, if there was not this cornerstone, Christ, who came and lived and died for you and me, none of this would matter. Not for this ultimate gift, this ultimate provision, our ultimate salvation. That's really the ultimate gift. That's the ultimate source of joy. Yes, we can list everything that we have, all our possessions, all the ways we've been blessed, all of our family, and know that that's an expression of God's love for us. But he gave us the ultimate expression, the ultimate demonstration that he loves you by giving his own son. That the son laying down his life for you, that the spirit working in you day by day. He loves you. He saved you. It's all true. If you came this morning feeling a little down, maybe feeling really down, if you came this morning feeling spiritually numb, if you came this morning feeling like, okay, another year, great. I want you to, I hope you've heard this and realized that your God is faithful to you. That you are dependent. You are not self-sufficient. If you don't feel self-sufficient, good. Look to the Lord. Recount his deeds. Recount what he has done. Recount how he's provided. Recount over this last year how he has helped you and provided for you, even in the moments where you felt like he was disciplining you. Realize that he hasn't given you over to death. Realizing that he is with you and strengthening you. And begin to boast in that. Boast in what the Lord has done this past year. Rejoice in what the Lord has done in the past year. Recognize your dependence and be thankful. And when you're thankful, it will increase your confidence and boldness. It will increase your joy. And remember, ultimately, that this ultimate truth, the ultimate reason to give thanks is that Christ has granted access. That the gates to the throne of grace are open to you and me through Jesus Christ. Let's end the year with thankfulness. Let's begin the year with confidence in Christ. Let's pray.